And liftoff.
Well, hello, everyone.
It almost sounds like the shuttle's taking off when they do that count.
That's the space shuttle for all of you who don't live in Florida.
Yeah, which is not a lot of people, because a lot of people live here. Let's see what we're doing. What are we doing time-wise? It's 7 p.m. Eastern time. And let's see if I have the time for your neck of the woods. It is, that's right. It's midnight in London, England. And I forgot to pull up the Australian time, but I'll get that in a minute. Anyway, 67 degrees here in Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel area, 9 mile visibility, all that kind of stuff. 85% humidity, as always, which is terrible. So.
And we're supposed to get rain later tonight. And
yep, chance of rain.
Cool off.
Yeah, we're going to get a cold front. It may actually feel a lot like Christmas coming up.
It just might. You're right.
Maybe next week. Who knows? And
well,
snow in the forecast? Is that what I heard? No.
Snow, yeah. Snow. In higher elevations. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it, 200 and something feet?
Yeah. Over 250 feet, we're going to get snow, yeah.
Yeah. So we're ready to start. It's all about wine. It's Thursday, December the 18th. 17th. Thank you.
17th.
2009, we are live. Give us a call, 646-727-3235. The number is going to be repeated in just a second. And here we go. Let's get started.
Oh, I need to find something to listen to. Let me see what's on. No. No. Gotta be something.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Well, that sounds good. It's time.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
For another episode, welcome to All About Wine, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery. In Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Labels themselves are, like I say, they become an art form.
Brought to you on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com.
Yeah.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine, or voice your comments. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Wait, it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, people.
All right. It's still playing. And they always do that.
Yeah, thank you, those people. Thank you.
The problem is...
Well, they're likely cow tonight. There's a little warmth out there. And so.
It's kind of interesting because they came from Jacksonville and Tallahassee on two buses.
Oh.
And... it was a long drive, and we bought them a bunch of cases, and by the time they get here, they could care less what they're doing. But
sort of a competition thing there, too, from the Panhandle and from the...
Exactly. Two sides of the state, whatever. That was a new intro specifically for the holidays, and...
very nice.
Yeah, well, I put a lot of time into it, I think about 20 minutes, but...
you can tell.
and the end result was about that long, too. It's like, oh, my gosh, am I talking slow in that one. But we'll get another one for the new year, and so everything's good, and I'll have about 2 weeks to produce it. So
that was good, though. That was very nice.
It was different. Mm-hmm. Anyway, tonight we are part two of Australia. We're going to get ready with that, and so anybody else in the U.S., the numbers now, 646-727-3235. Give us a call, get on the switchboard, we'll put you on the air, and you can comment, ask questions all about wine, make sure it deals with wine, and you can talk to Ron directly, and my name's Mike, I'm also here, and but Ron is the expert, so we let him go from here. So, welcome, Ron, and
thank you.
How's everything going?
Things are going well. Yeah, we We just celebrated our birthday party last Saturday at the winery.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're in these economic times, a birthday party celebration is always nice. A lot of good vendors showed up. We had a pretty decent crowd. We had ourselves a birthday cake, and everyone enjoyed a piece of birthday cake for the day. And the only complaint that I have about the birthday cake is that it had a Cool Whip type frosting, and the red frosting that they had on it, they used some powerful, powerful dye on that stuff. I'll tell you, everything that it turned red. It was unbelievable. But it was a good day and a good party and all that. And Christmas and the holidays and all that, we're getting quite a few people coming in and all that. But that doesn't mean you have to just do it at Christmas. You can come in any time out the winery. We always love to hear from you. Always love to see you. Always love to have you stop by. We are going to go into Australia again and finish it up tonight. And then after this, we'll have ourselves a two-week break before we come back again. We're going to not be here Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, which will be next week and the week after. Jump on the jet and fly up and do some skiing up in Wyoming. And then maybe jump.
It's going to take about 2 weeks to find a winery up there. But you said there are wineries up there.
There's wineries in Wyoming. Yes, there is. There's wineries in Wyoming. And, you know, there's actually every state in the nation has a winery. And we, in fact, since we brought it up, I do have to tell everyone this. I try to get a wine from every state in the nation, every different state in the nation. And I've gotten 45 of the 50 states so far. I do not have five. The five I don't have is Louisiana, Mississippi, North and South Dakota, and Wyoming. So when we do our ski trip, we're going to have to pick up those three wines up in North, South Dakota, Wyoming.
It's cold up
not hit the slopes for a day and go out and pick up wine.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but we're going to finish up Australia today and different areas of Australia. We talked a little bit about Australia last week, and just a quick review. Australia is divided up into the country is divided up into different states, and they grow wine, and most of them are the states are Western Australia, Northern Territory, Queensland, South Australia, New South Wales, and then a little small Victoria, which is down in the corner of New South Wales and right next to South Australia. And then the island of Tasmania also grows wine, or grows grapes, and they make wine there. I'm always correcting people when they come into the winery all the time. They say, you know, where do you grow the wine? And I always correct them and say, we don't grow wine. We grow grapes and we make wine. So I have to watch how I word it, too. Northern Territory and Queensland aren't really noted for their wineries. In fact, the Northern Territory has no significant winery at all there. They may have some grapes planted, but nothing that came up on anything that I found about Australia. Queensland has a few vineyards planted, and I'll talk about those probably right at the end of today's session. But we did talk about Western Australia, a lot of wineries. Perth is the capital, and around the capital is a lot of wineries not too far from that. Margaret River is a big wine-growing region that is down in the south of Perth, Perth being on the east, actually on the west coast of Australia, and Western Australia and the west coast. And there's wineries around outside of Perth, but then down the coast of that Margaret River wine-growing region, you also have Great Southern region, which is right at the tip of the western part of Australia. Quite a few wineries are growing around there. There's a few other small areas, Swan Valley and Geograph and small wineries in that area, but not a lot. In South Australia, the South Australia is pretty much a desert. You don't get too many wineries, nor do you get very many towns or anything there. I mean, it's pretty much empty. But as you get on over toward the a little bit more east of in South Australia, the state of South Australia, you have Adelaide being the capital of South Australia, and quite a few wineries around there. And we hit lightly on those last week. I'm going to start there again and just get caught on up and talk about the actually most of the what we're talking about today in Australia is going to be the southeastern part of the country. As you look at the map of Australia, it sort of a circle, oblong circle with the little point on the western bottom half, and then it dips down a little bit on the eastern bottom half. Eastern bottom half is where quite a few of the wineries are in South Australia, New South Wales, and Victoria, the states of those. Plus Tasmania also has some wineries. So we'll continue on. First, I want to talk about the Barossa. Barossa. This is the Barossa region is located in South Australia. It is, let me pinpoint exactly where the region is. Barossa and Eden Valley is the two areas that whenever you speak of Barossa, Eden Valley and Barossa, both of them are right there together, north of Adelaide, and it is two regions. It's the Barossa and Eden Valley. Barossa is the hillside areas of this area, and Eden Valley is the valley area. Interesting bit of history about this area, I found that the valley was settled by and the hills were settled by English back in the 1700s, late 1700s. And the, late 1830s. I was thinking another area. Late 1830s, these areas were settled. And they, different lifestyles, different cultures, different types of grapes and everything. The Germans, German-speaking people, usually from the Poland, Eastern Germany area, again settled the valleys, and then the English farmers settled up in the hills a little bit more. But the villages and the towns, you get in the valley, and you got a very strong German influence. You get up in the hills, a very strong English influence. But they wasn't a contentious relationship. It was a very civil relationship to them. They understood each other. The culture didn't separate just by cultures. They mixed the villages and townships, and farms were established and all. And because of the fact that they were able to help each other and continue to help each other with growing and with winemaking and all that, the area exploded in vines. Some of the oldest vines in the world can still be found in the area that were planted when they first settled that area there. There's over 500 growers producing grapes in Barossa today. And a lot of them are fifth and sixth and seventh generation growers from descendants from the original settlers in that area. So they've continued to expand and grow and make the area, use the area as a for some fantastic wines coming out of there. The fortified wines were used a lot with this in the Barossa area. This was the mainstay for a long time there. But in the mid-1950s, different winemakers started to try other things, tried to do some other types of things. Came out with a lot of table wines. And they also started to work stronger with them and build a stronger bases and all that, and was able to come out in the valley with some very full-bodied Syrah, and up in the hills a little bit, some very dry Rieslings. These two styles are the classics of the area still. These are the ones that are growing there. These are the ones that the Barossa area is noted for, the Syrahs and the Rieslings. In the 70s and 80s, the Riesling, the big reds started to decline a little bit. They weren't as popular, they weren't as sought after for a period there. So a lot of the old vineyards were torn out, but they still kept quite a few of them, thankfully. Not everyone tore out old vineyards and planted something different. And so because of that, they still have some of the classic grapevines around there. Not only the Syrah, but there are some Auvergne vines and some Grenache grapevines that are found in the area that have survived being being torn out and replanted. And some of these vines, again, are 200-300 years old. The Barossa wines are noted as big, full, powerful reds. Tannin, a lot of heavy fruit. The reds give you this tar, leather, chocolatey taste to them. It's a full mouthfeel. You take a sip of it and it feels like it just expands to the whole mouth. It's just so powerful. And the Rieslings have exploded from the area too. And there's been a Riesling resurgence in the world as it is. And the Rieslings in that area have really also exploded and started to make waves and all that. Some of the very traditional Cabernets are strong enough to just hold up, walk across the room and pour themselves in your glass. I mean, just the big full-bodied cabs. And the whites, primarily Semillon, which is not oak most of the time, but still some very luscious, lemony aroma to the Semillon. The Eden Valley, a little bit cooler, but again, great Rieslings coming out of there, just some phenomenal Rieslings. They're also, and the Valley's also able to make some nice Syrahs, Cabernets, Chardonnays. Chardonnays seem to be able to be planted all over the world, it seems. The Voynier, grape from Old World France, the Voynier, it's white grape, is also doing very well in the Eden Valley. Australia, and I need to clarify this again, too. I need to talk about this again. We've talked about all these other countries in France and Germany and Spain and Italy and all their designations, all their rules, all the stuff that they have to follow, different types of regulations they have and types of grapes that they can grow in a region and how the wine should be made and what the regulations are on how it's made and all this stuff. I mean, all these regions have it and you can only use certain grapes and you get designations or appellations for each area. And if it's not grown in that area, you can't use another grape. And all this stuff, I mean, you find this throughout the areas that we've talked about in previous episodes and in previous programs. Australia does not have any of these restrictions. They have never set any rules and regulations. They have never stated that you can only grow a certain grape in a certain area. You can only blend it with this, or you have to do, it has to be this or this or this. They've never came out with any rules or regulations. If it's named a varietal, it still has to contain, and in Australia, it's 80% of that grape. So if it's named a varietal grape, it has to contain at least 80% of it. As far as any other rules and regulations go, they don't have too many there. That's why you go to the store and you start looking up, looking in the Australian sections and start trying to find certain wines, you will see all sorts of blends. You will see a Cab Syrah blend, which is very popular coming out of Australia. Cab Merlots, Syrah Merlots, Sauvignon Chardonnays, Rieslings blended with Chardonnays. It's amazing all the different varieties that you see coming out of Australia. And I've had quite a few of them, and all of them are just, you know, they do an excellent job. It's just, it's a great, great combination. As a side note, since I do make the wines and blend the wines for Florida State Winery, it's exciting to sit down and take a combination of different things that you have and start blending it together and seeing what type of taste you come up with and see what tastes good and a little bit too much of this, a little bit too much of that, and you put it over the edge and it's wrong, or you get too much of a characteristic of something that you don't want. And Australia is very good about that. They are constantly blending different things to come up with some new and exciting taste. And because of no regulations, they're able to do that and not be restricted by what they're doing in different areas. And Barossa, though, is one of the few areas that does have geographic indication or geographic areas. A lot of pressure from the European growing community. The Barossa is used some very high quality wines coming out there, and a lot of it is sold to Europe. And so, and being European and being so used to designations and stuff, they have pressured the Barossa and Eden Valley to name their area, to designate what is Barossa and Eden Valleys, and where geographic indications. And so they did. That's one of the few areas in Australia that you're going to find actual episode. And because of that, it will stop rapid growth. They'll stop areas outside of there calling it that. And there are areas close to the Barossa area that have in the past used the name. So in 1996, the designation for the Barossa Eden Valley area was actually named and stopped some of its growth. Adelaide Hills. This is the next area that we're going to, again, we're still in South Australia. The Adelaide Hills are just about due east of Adelaide. But very easy, very close to Adelaide, and because they're so close, it's less than a half-hour drive from the city of Adelaide, and extremely popular for visitors. It is it stretches north and east from the area there, just north of the Eden Valley area. Again, the designation of Eden Valley is, you know, stops, and then the Adelaide Hills start. It's one of the areas with more hills and more the European style look that you will find of any other areas in Australia. It's got the rolling hills. It is a lot compared to the European style French areas in, along the Rhine, the Rhone River, and that, and also in Germany, the rolling hills and stuff that you find there. It's that's about all it does match for the European style, though, because the climate is really a very cool climate. Very moist, a lot of rains coming in because it is right there at the, on the so a lot of rains come in. Just outside of the region there, you have a few small mountain ranges, mountains rise up 468 meters, which is about, 800 feet, 1,000 feet. So you have a variety of grapes. So white grape Chardonnay is planted there, and it's probably some of the most prestigious Chardonnays come out of this region. It also produces a lot of grapes for sparkling wines. The most planted red wine and probably the most widely planted grape in the region is Cabernet Franc, which is a great grape. I'm really sad that we don't see more of it here in the States. I love a Cabernet Franc. And Pinot Noir is also being planted quite a bit there because of the cool influence that Pinot Noir is able to grow a little bit better. Not a lot of big vineyards in the area, not a lot of big, there's most of them are under 100 acres. Probably about the biggest one is Petaluma at 309 acres or 125 hectares. But most of them are rather small, under 100 acres, because of the hills and all that. They the small vineyards and small wineries run them. McLaren Vale. I talked about McLaren Vale a little bit last week, but I'm going to hit on it again lightly here. McLaren Vale is located just in the just south of Adelaide, in a little piece of land that comes down south of Adelaide, and McLaren Vale is there. A lot of immigrants, migrant workers, and immigrants settled there, mostly English, back in 1833. Got the hills on the one side and the water, what's called the Gulf of St. Vincent, on the other. And the terrain, the land is, again, rolling hills with a whole variety of soil types because of its location. There's also a variety of climate there. Because of where it's located, too, the summer rainfalls are low, so they do have to irrigate to keep the vineyards irrigated in the summer. There is a method that they use, more so in Europe than anywhere, where they starve the grapevines. They don't water them as much in late, well, I say summer. Summer to them is right now, so we have to realize, again, we're talking south of the equator in Australia. But there is a method in watering used quite a bit in Europe. The grapevines from water. You don't water them as much. You cut back on the water. When you do that, the grapevines think they're going to die. They are scared they're going to die. And so when a grapevine or any plant thinks it's going to die, it puts all of its energy and all of its growth into the fruit because that's its babies. Grapes are the seeds to grapevines. And so if it's starving from water, it starts putting a bunch of energy into the grapes to get them so that they will survive and they will be strong and that they can carry on the lineage. And then after it's fed all the energy into that, you start watering them again, and the grapevines go, I'm not going to die, and then they survive and they're happy. But by this time, you've already fed all this water in, or all this energy into the grapes, and you have a much sweet, fruity, full grape because of it. And McLaren Vale, something I've ran across, said that practice is used there at times too. Because McLaren Vale can grow just about any grape, probably the most popular grape there is the Syrahs. It's rich, full-flavored, as you know, most Syrahs out of Australia tend to be. Cabernet Sauvignon is also grown there. It's just a ripe hint of chocolate. Merlot is another very popular grape in this area. Basically, all the ones we're used to here in the United States. The Chardonnay does extremely well there and produces some phenomenal Chardonnays with a peachy, buttery, toasty, big, full, fruity Chardonnays that are just jump out at you. Last week I had a McLaren Vale wine during the program, and it was phenomenal. It's a Cabernet, and I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. I am enjoying one of our Florida State Winery Merlots, which we are sold out of. I had a couple of them left in my cellar, and so I pulled them out, and I pulled one of them out for this evening. It will be sad when these things are gone because they are wonderful wines. McLaren Vale, also Sauvignon Blanc does very well, which gives it a more of a fruity, but not overpowering fruitiness in Sauvignon Blancs. Excuse me. The region also does some very good fortified wines, and also a lot of sparkling wines come out of the McLaren Vale area. They a lot of the sparkling wines also are red wines. Australia does a whole bunch of different red sparkling wines. The Burgundy style sparkling wines out of Australia used to be real popular in the early 70s and mid 70s, but it was cut back and quite a bit because people were drinking more of sweeter lookalikes. And please don't get me wrong on this, but Lambrusca is a good example of a sweeter style, sparkly, slightly effervescent wine. And the Lambrusca style of wine started to take cut into the market of the Australian red sparklies. And so you don't see as much of them now. But some of them from the 40s, the sparkling wines from Australia from the 40s and also from the 60s are still holding up quite well and have maintained a great prices at auctions. It's just a phenomenal price. Early 40s and mid 60s sparkling reds out of Australia. Some of the producers all over the country now in Australia are making what they call spurgles, S-P-U-R-G-L-E-S, spurgles, and it's a red sparkling wine. That's Shiraz being a very popular grape to make a red sparkling wine. The next area, the Coonawarra and the Limestone Coast. This is also still, we're still looking at South Australia, but we are getting close right now. We're right down on the border of South Australia and Victoria. It is further, it's the far eastern, southeastern edge of the state of South Australia. And this is where the where we'll find the Coonawarra and the Limestone Coast growing areas. It is a longer area, but not real big. I mean, actually, it's approximately 12 and a half miles long, 20 kilometers for those of you who go by kilometers, and only about a mile wide, or 1.5 kilometers wide, and it narrows at both ends, the north end and south end. It has a very rich soil. The soil is called Terra Rosa. It's a loam overlay of limestone, and it's got a very high water table underneath it because of its location. So it makes for some absolutely phenomenal, elegantly rich flavored Cabernet Sauvignons. It's just some exceptional qualities to the grapes coming out of this area because of the soil. The soil depth ranges from a few inches or meters up to about 3 feet. The region was discovered in 1890 and was planted mostly in Syrahs and Cabernets at the time. And the wineries exploded out of that area. Pathaway, P-A-D-T-H-A, Pathaway region is just north of that and actually now produces more grapes than the Coonawarra and the Limestone Coast area. But it's not noted so much for its reds as for the Chardonnays. Some great Chardonnays coming out of the Pathway region. About 18 and a half miles or so from the coast, about 30 kilometers, is South Australia's southernmost viticulture area. And it's rather small. It's a small area, not well noted yet and all that, but they've had some smaller producers out of the area. This is just south of the Limestone Coast, Conavera area. Mount Benson area is what it's called. And it's getting some great success with the Chardonnay and Cabernet plants in these areas. The Chardonnay became the dominant grape in Australia, and fortified wines dominated the style of a lot of when it was first planted. You find some early Australian plantings, Australian history, and you talk about the fortified wines a lot more than anything else. With the Syrahs, the Conavera has retained some small plantings of the Cabernet Sauvignon, which is really becoming its distinct grape, its distinct planting for the area. The combined with the cool climate and the Terra Rossa soil, the loam and limestone soil, they're coming out with some phenomenal Cabernets from the area, distinct perfumey, complex wines, plum, chocolate richness, with minty eucalyptus, and most Australian wines actually do give you a little bit of eucalyptus undertones to it. Grapevines will pick up the flavors and tastes of the areas that you are in, so they will give you a little bit of that type of taste in the grapes. On to the other southern Australian region, Riverland. This is the Riverland area is located in by the Murray River, and the Murray River runs all the way over into this is from down through actually the Murray River is the border between New South Wales and Victoria. And the Riverland is along the Murray River, flat, open lands here. Some nice values to wines coming out of this area. It reminded me the Riverland area. It reminds me a lot of the Rhone regions, the central Rhone regions of France. Some nice wines, not a phenomenal amount, outstanding, but just great values with some really decent wines. Jumping over to the next state, Victoria. Grampians and Pyrenees. Flat land with a lot of Cabernet Sauvignon coming in the area. The cabs are good coming out of this area. I've had some cabs out of the Pyrenees, and it's some good cabs, but I've never have them been consistent. I've always been surprised when one's great, and always been disappointed when one's bad. And you never just the way the area goes. The winters are cold and wet, and the summers are cool and dry, and there's early spring frosts, and the rainfall is low, and it's just all these factors fight against you. If you have a great year, you have a great wine. If you have a mediocre, it really does reflect in the wines from this area. Sauvignon Blanc is very good for this area. It grows quite well, and it gives you some great wines coming out of the area. It's maritime climate with the rains and stuff, and the fall coming in does make fantastic late harvest wines out of the area. They make some very, very nice Sauvignon Blanc late harvest. The Rutherglen and Northeast Victoria area, these are both located in right next to the border of New South Wales and Victoria, north of Melbourne. Melbourne, by the way, is in Victoria, in the state of Victoria. This is one of the big cities. This is the capital also of New South Wales, or of Victoria, rather. The history of the Northeast Viticulture areas dates back to early 1850s. A lot of influence from English and French, actually, influence in the areas. They plant a little bit of everything. The area is, depending where you are, the area could be absolutely useless soil to some of the most fertile soil you're going to find in that part of the country. It is a the microclimates are very important in that area. They have are planting a lot of Italian grape varieties, Nebbiolo, Dolcetto, Barbera, Moscato, some very nice Muscat liqueurs are coming from the Northeast Victoria region. Some a liqueur that just rivals some of the Tokay and the Sauternes wines made of Muscadel grape. And actually, nowhere else in the world makes a wine liqueur from the Muscadel grape. This is the only place in the world that does use the Muscadel grape to make a fortified wine like this, a liqueur. Yarra Valley. The Yarra Valley was actually first planted in late 1830s, 1837, 1838, I think, something like that. This is just south of southeast of Melbourne, or more east and southeast of Melbourne. It is close to Melbourne, extremely close to Melbourne, actually. And because it's so close, it is the wine spot. People visit that. It's undulating hills, little boutique wineries are popping up all over the place. They have what they call the in early March, which is right around the harvest season. They have grape grazing, which is a big national event there, especially popular for outside of Melbourne. Good soils, good climate. It's great for growing grapes in this area, and they do grow some fantastic grapes. Merlot being probably the predominant grape out of the area. Some of the areas, a little bit cooler areas with the influence in the waters and stuff, Pinot Noir and Chardonnay are produced and grown there. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Gris, Marsan, Roussanne are planted recently, and they've taken off. They're really starting to do very well. Because of the climate and the Moët Chandon Champagne Company has opened up and is doing a lot of sparkling wines out of that area there, because the Chardonnay grape is doing well, and they're getting some great results from that region. Mornington Peninsula. Mornington Peninsula is the little peninsula down south of Melbourne in the state of Victoria. A lot of boutique wineries, not anything enormous. Vineyards are 12 acres, 4.9 hectares, 25 acres. It's rather small. Young region, medium body, not anything outstanding, but some really nice, complex wines are starting to show up out of there. Chardonnays are really starting to show a lot of potential coming out of the Mornington Peninsula, as is the Syrahs and Sauvignon Blancs. They're making some excellent ones in some of the wineries. Pinot Gris is also being considered as the next big thing coming out from the area. A few of the other Victorian regions, Gippsland, it's southeast eastern corner of the state. They just began planting in the 1970s. They're putting out some of the cooler wines, again, Chardonnays, some Pinot Noirs being planted there, and growing a little bit of Cabernet and Merlot. And Geelong, another area that is actually one of Australia's most southerly regions. Long ripening season, a lot of flavors to the grape, a strong maritime influence on the grapes and on the soil. Pinot Noir, Chardonnay growing there. Central Victoria, much warmer climate, and in the lower region of stuff, red wines are starting to just jump out of there. Just the full body, powerful, a lot of fruit, Syrah, Cabernet. You get away from the dry valleys and you start getting up and a little bit more into the hills and stuff, 1,000 to 1,800 meters. You get lower yields and you start getting snows in the winters and stuff like that, but you're getting some fantastic sparkling wines. Rieslings, Gewürztraminers demeanors are starting to develop very well there and starting to get quite a reputation throughout Australia and around the world from the Central Victoria regions for those. Tasmania. I want to talk about Tasmania for a minute here. Tasmania is the island just off the south tip of the country of Australia. It is on actually the eastern south tip. Small island, actually divided into six sub-regions. It's classified as one growing region, but it's very unfair to do that. It's best to divide it up. They have the south, northwest, Tamar Valley, Piper's Brook or Piper's River, east coast, Derwent are in Coal River Valleys, and the Huon Valley. Each of them have their own distinct microclimates. Each of them produce a variety of different grapes. Because of the microclimates and all these, you're finding a lot of different styles. Chardonnay grows especially well in Tasmania, and some of these valleys are putting out some just absolutely beautiful Chardonnays. The Tasmania region also is very well noted for sparkling wines. Australia has five of the best. Australia as a country has 20 sparkling wine producers, and Tasmania is noted for being having five of the best sparkling wine producers in the country of Australia. So, considering they only grow 1% of all the grapes, but they have five of the highest ranked sparkling wines, it's really saying something for them. Hunter Valley. Hunter Valley is located in New South Wales. My engineer just sneezed there. Bless you. Hunter Valley is located in New South Wales. It is probably the best known wine areas internationally. The proximity to Sydney gives it a lot of exposure. Very well noted for the Sémillons. This is the wine coming out of there. A lot of boutique wineries coming out of New South Wales, out of Hunter Valley. There's an awful lot of smaller wineries. They're not planting a lot of grapes. Actually, the number of vineyards that they have now and the number of plantings they have now is smaller than it was 30 years ago, but they're getting some good yield. They're getting some good quality out of there. Chardonnay is very popular for the area. Chardonnay seems to do quite well all throughout Australia, though. I mean, noticed. Verdelho is also another white that proves to be extremely good out of Hunter, of the Hunter Valley. As most areas, you get the reds, Syrahs, Cabernet, Merlot is very good. There's a small percentage of Pinot Noir growing there, but not a grape that they have a whole lot of success with, but one that is starting to show a little bit of promise there. Mostly it's best suited for white wines. And Chardonnay and Sauvignon are really the ones that are noted more than anything. And some of the other New South Wales regions that are worth mentioning, the Northern Rivers area, which is just like the States, the east of Sydney, Sydney being on the west, on the east coast of New South Wales, and the grape growing has revived along the Northern Rivers area, probably since the 1980s. It's really starting to pick up there. They do have problems, though. It is very high humidity and a lot of rainfall. Sounds familiar to me. That's what we have. Because of that, you do have problems with mildew and mold and stuff, but they are planting a lot of Chambord grapes, which tend to be highly resistant to mildew and retain their colors quite well. Chardonnay, Sauvignon have been very popular in that area and very successful also. Central Ranges of New South Wales. Central Ranges is almost due west. The area there, 185 miles outside of Sydney, 300 kilometers if you use that. It is inland, a little northwest of there. One of the oldest viticultural regions of Australia, Mudgee, is in this area, as is Cowra and Orange. Well, Cowra and Orange are two of the newer ones, but Mudgee's been there a long time, one of the oldest ones. Mudgee is noted for its Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrahs, some plantings in Chardonnay recently, but the Cabs and Syrahs are the ones that they really are most noted for. The Cowra region is now planting almost very heavily in Chardonnay. Again, Chardonnay grows just about everywhere. And same thing with the Orange region, planted a lot in Chardonnay. But they've also got a lot of plantings in the Cabernet Sauvignon, which is looking good right now, and as is the Syrahs. Reds normally don't grow well in the region because of the dryness. They're not getting what they want, but so far, they're having quite a bit of success. The Big Rivers region of New South Wales is just a little bit north of the Northern Rivers and the Central Ranges. This is a lot of sunshine, a lot of low amounts of rainfall, a lot of irrigation, but they're coming out with some very nice everyday drinking wine, great values, your classic table wines. Sauvignon is planted probably the most prolific day plantings are coming up. Syrah, the biggest planted red. The Big Rivers has came out recently with a Botrytis Sauvignon, Botrytis meaning the very sweet Sauvignon, a dessert style wine, and getting worldwide recognition for it. They're noted as world class Botrytis Sauvignons coming out of there, which sounds extremely interesting to me. Southern New South Wales, this is south of Sydney. Canberra is actually the town that it's close to. It is three regions make up the Southern New South Wales: Hilltops, Canberra District, and Tumbarumba. Each individual characteristics of the areas they're clumped together because they all are right there together. Again, the same grapes that we've been talking about: Cabernet Sauvignon, Syrah, Chardonnay, Riesling. All do quite well in all these areas. South Coast is just like it sounds. It's right on the coast. A smaller area, much smaller area, because of a lot of like humidity, summer rainfalls, a lot of mildew, vine rot and stuff. Chambrosan grape has been planted quite a bit, but they're trying the Chardonnay, Syrahs, and Cabernets. And so far they're having some good vintages, but it's not like every year. It's a dangerous thing. Queensland. Queensland is the state north of New South Wales. Queensland is the top eastern state of Australia. It's the one with the big old peak coming up. If you look at a map of Australia, the big point coming up. A lot of new planting is going around Queensland now. They're trying to see if they can't get great going there, what they call the Granite Belt wine region. The Granite Belt wine region is located northeast of Brisbane, Brisbane being the capital. Southeast of Brisbane. Brisbane is the capital there. The Granite Belt region is the highest wine region in the country. It's a little bit cooler, gets coolness from the coast and stuff. It gives the possibilities of growing some nice Cabernets and Syrahs, which are the most planted grapes, with some Merlots being able to grow. Whites include the Semillon, Chardonnay, and so far they've been pretty successful. And we are done with Australia.
Wow. All right. We have, excellent material. That's quite a bit. I didn't realize there were so many.
It surprised me too. I mean, I'm familiar with Australia, and I drink a lot of their wines, and I've read stuff about it and all that. But when I started delving into it so I can present it all in, I was amazed at how much is in Australia. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great information. And let's see. I have a couple of things to come across here. I just wanted to come across. I got fooled with a different wording here.
You've been drinking. I've been talking.
Yes, I have been taking quite. I didn't realize that glass was that big. I mean, I was like misspelling stuff, like the word saw, you know, easy words. I'm like, I don't know what it's spelled. I'm just anyway.
No, forget it. It's recorded. I'll listen to it.
Yeah. I just want to let's see everybody to remember that just because we are not on the air or doing the show, that the Florida State 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. daily, except major holidays. So I'm assuming you guys are going to have a couple of days off coming up.
Yes, we will. We'll have a couple of days off.
Yes. And you can still email us. You can email us, myself here, or you can email the winery directly, and we have the email address coming up. But just in case it doesn't get fit in there, it's corp@floun.com. That's corp@floun.com. And let's see, just to let everybody know, we will be back after the new year, 2010, with more shows. And just want to wish everybody happy holidays, Merry Christmas,
I do so also. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank everybody, and Happy New Year. We won't be, Kwanzaa, that's right, I forgot about
that's
that.
That's true.
Wow. Happy New Year. Just want everybody to have a great holiday, whether or not you have to work, you have to have it off. Be safe, especially. Be safe, please. And visit the winery. You know, it's a great place. Let's see.
Yeah.
There's also three options to listen to our archive shows, the previous shows, that like tonight's show will be archived right after it's done. 1000mics.com. You can listen to the shows there. You can go to Blog Talk Radio. We're also on there in the archives. Or you can search the podcast area on iTunes and download the shows for free. All of the shows are available on iTunes. I'm not sure if we're going to have a regular, not a regular because it's irregular, but we may have an impromptu show somewhere next week. I'm not real sure, but it'll just be one of those general things that we've done a long, long, long time ago. But I'm not sure if it's going to be next week or not, but we're kind of shooting for that. Usually we have news, comments, things that are happening locally and all that kind of stuff. If you'd like to call the winery directly, please do so at 813-996-2113, 5241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. It's Florida Estates Winery. And Ron, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas.
Happy Holidays, Mike. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Make sure I get that out. I don't think I'm going to be able to play the recording.
We're almost out of here.
Yes.
Y'all be safe.
Yes, everybody be safe, and we'll see you all in a year.
Next year.
Yeah. We'll see y'all. Thanks a lot. And, show is on, but not streaming on Blog Talk Radio. So
so we're done. But we still have Thousand Mics. You people be safe out there.
Yes, Thousand Mics people be safe. And we'll see them as well. And I'm not sure if we're going to – I'm still contemplating that extra show, but I'm not sure. Okay, I guess we're done here, and we'll see everybody next time. Let me hang up with them.